Romans chapter 12, verse 11 to 16. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with men of humble position. Be not wise in your own opinion. I'd like us to consider a subject: commitment and convenience. Commitment and convenience. These words are very critical because they apply to every area of human endeavor. There can be two ways that every man will run his life on the earth: either by convenience or by commitment. And this is applicable to everyone. There can be two ways by which everyone will run his or her life. Some are running their lives by commitment, consistently following principles and laid down rules. Some are running their lives by convenience. As much as it is comfortable for me, I will do. Where it is no longer comfortable, then I can't go. They are not willing to take any risk. They are comfortable at the level they are. If you do a careful study of any successful person in any sphere of life, whether spiritual, academic, career, or ministerial, you will discover that the principle or the secret of their success are not mysterious, but available for everyone to see. Success leaves clues. There is no good success without a story. There is no good success without track records. Success will always leave a clue. And so if you do a careful study of the life of successful people, you will discover that they are not succeeding mysteriously. That greatness in their life is not a mystery, but there are things available for everyone to see. If you put two people side by side, one of them is hugely successful, the other one is badly defeated. Now, if you want to do a study of their life, you will discover that virtually everything that the successful man knows, the failure, the defeated man, also knows it. But the difference between the both of them is that what great people do by commitment, failures do by convenience. When David came into the battlefield, everything David had, the soldiers who were running to find a hiding place when Goliath showed up also had them. Everything David knew, they also knew. They were all circumcised just like David was. They knew about the Almighty God just like David knew. They also knew that God was a man of war like David knew. But what great people do by commitment, failures would do by convenience. You do it when you feel you are comfortable. You do it when you feel you can. Just like some people are treating their Christian life with convenience. We pray when we feel like. You know, you are in service when you are comfortable to be in service. Now, you can't be in service, you can't be in the presence of God if there is anything wrong with any part of your body. But I'd like you to understand that what failures do by convenience, great people do it by commitment. In other words, they don't feel like doing it, but they are just going to do it. For them, it's like there is no option. For them, it's like there's no way out. I've just got to do this thing. Failures will often procrastinate what great people would do on the moment. I said, let's get it done now. You know, when 12 men were sent to go and spy out the land of Canaan, the Bible said 10 came back with a disappointing report. They looked at the land and they saw all the beautiful promises that God made concerning the land. The predictions of God came through in their very eyes, and they could even bring some fruit of the land to show evidence of God's promise and prediction about the land. But they also said that there are the sons of the Anaks, the giants who are in the land, and before them we were like grasshoppers. And so let's not even try it. Let's not even think about it. They became defeated even before they contemplated going for the battle. But the Bible says Joshua and Caleb were not so, because they had a different spirit. And you know, Joshua said, let us go up at once, for we are well able. And you know, after Moses died and Joshua was in charge, and then the land of Canaan was to be apportioned to the tribes of Israel. Now, while they were inside Canaan, there is a tribe, the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Benjamin. They were comfortable with the outskirts of Canaan, because simply they saw some grasses that would be okay for their animals. But up there was the best of Canaan. But they wouldn't want to go there because they were still giants. But Caleb, at the age of 85, spoke to Joshua and said, you remember what Moses said when we went to spy the land and men came with evil report and I reported otherwise? He said, give me this mountain, for as I was then, so I am now. Praise God. And he went for the best part of the land. He went for the best part of the promise. And the Bible says he dislodged the giant and took it over, and that portion became Caleb's own perpetually. Amen. That's commitment. So what failures do by convenience, great people will do it by commitment. You don't pray because you feel like, or because you don't feel like. Prayers have become part of you, that whether you feel like praying or not, you just know that you are going to do it. And God demands commitment from his children. If we are going to get anything tangible out of his hands, it was commitment that led Jesus to the garden. It was commitment that led him out of the garden. You know, he told his disciples, he said, my spirit is sorrowful even unto death. And he went further to say, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But it was commitment that pushed him over the Rubicon. It was commitment that made him go all the way. I said, no matter what, I am going to get this race finished. Now, if you see the people that take the gold medal in the race, it's not because they don't get tired on the road, but the commitment of the crown, the commitment to their nation, the commitment to their families will make them continue. I said, I feel like fainting. I feel like giving up. Give up yet. And you see them going on and on and on. So if you are going to be successful, you are not just going to be successful because somebody said you are going to be successful. You know, Joseph was told by God of how much blessings he is going to be to his family. But he didn't just sit down there for God to do everything. He committed himself to holy principles. He committed himself to God, that even at the cost of his life, at the cost of his pride, he still maintained his integrity. Praise the Lord. Everybody applies these two principles in his or her life. And everybody knows about them. You may not put the same tag on your own, You may not call them the same names. You may not call it commitment or covenant, but you're already walking the two. What you must know is when someone is successful at manifesting greatness, it is coming out of applying commitment to already known principles. Nobody becomes great without applying commitment to principles of greatness. No student becomes excellent, stands out in the class, without committing himself to the principle of success in the classroom. So you must understand it, that when you come to the point of greatness, there is a demand of commitment. As a worker, as a leader in church, as a Christian, you need to be so committed to the things of God that even God himself will nod in approval. He said, have you considered my servant Job? He is faithful. And the whole land is too connected with me. And Satan said, God, you don't know anything. It's because of everything that you have given to him. That's why he's that committed. And God said, you can go ahead and take everything that he has to prove to you that his commitment is not material based. The question now is, what is ruling your life currently? Is it convenience or commitment? There are some people that cannot just wake up from their bed to even go for their business. Some are not given the requisite demand, requirement to make their businesses grow. Some have not given the necessary commitment to their marriages, to whatever they are doing. They are loosely committed. They can't go the whole. They can't take an extra mile. Jesus said, if you are asked to go a mile, go an extra with them. If you want to be a successful Christian, for instance, prayer is one of the key. But the question is, how many Christians pray? And if they pray, how consistent is your prayer life? You know, sometimes somebody can say, I will pray 7 hours in a day so that I may not have to pray the remaining days of the week. Praise God. But it is better for you to pray 30 minutes every day and pray throughout the week rather than praying 7 hours of one day and don't pray the remaining days of the week. Now, you know that's convenient. Some people say, okay, let me spend 30 days fasting. And after that, it will take care of the whole of fasting I need to do in the year. But it will even be better for you to spend 3 hours of fasting one day and keep fasting regularly through the year than fasting just 1 month. If you want to be a successful Christian, prayer is one key. But how many of us pray? And if we do, how consistent is our prayer life? You know, God is not just looking out for how much time you spent in your place of prayer, but God is also looking out for your consistency in the place of prayer. When you are before God today, God will be expecting you to come tomorrow. But you are not going to say, because I have spent 10 hours praying today, there may be no need praying tomorrow. No, God wants to see how committed we are to the things, not how much of the time that we are putting inside of it. Because a lot of time, people pride themselves with how much time they can spend. Today, there's somebody that if he comes to church in the morning and there's a program in the evening, he won't come. I said, I was already there in the morning. Convenience. This Christianity of convenience will not take us far, because the devil that you are going to face is a committed devil. Ever since the devil told God, this darkness, I'm not going to be here alone, he has set out to walk, and he's been walking. No, if you read the book of 2 Peter or 1 Peter, the Bible said the devil is walking about like who? Like a roaring lion, seeking for whom to devour. That man doesn't rest. Praise God. I'm talking about the devil. Is a workaholic, committed to his dangerous course. How much more the children of God?
We need to be committed. Praise God. So we must make up our mind today that we will cross the Rubicon. The Rubicon is simply the point of no return. The point of no return with God, the point you get to with God, where you say, no matter what, this is my decision. I'm going to continue with it. Whether good or bad, this is what I've decided to do. You must cross a place in your emotion, in your decision, in your willpower, that something will start happening differently. You know, somebody once defined insanity as doing the same things repeatedly while expecting different results. And I accept that. Doing the same thing repeatedly and yet expecting different results. Somebody defined that as insanity. In any fear of life, there is a greater reward in the practice side than in the theory side. In any fear of life, there is a greater reward in the practice side. You know, the practice side is the commitment side. You can earn so much if you remain a student for all your life. But when you leave the classroom and begin to practice the things that you were taught, you earn more money. Praise God. So in any fair of life, there is a greater reward in the practice side of life. When you begin to practice the things that you have been told, that you have been taught. You know, that's why you can go to many seminars. There are seminars all over the place. Some they will say success seminars. Good. But if you attend all the success seminars in the world and yet you don't apply the principles of success by commitment, you will still end up a failure. Otherwise, have you not read in books? Have you not been told in seminars? 10 keys to success. 25 keys to success. You read them. You got the keys. But you need somebody to show you the door. Because if you have only the keys, it won't make any meaning to your life. And so people are moving around with 25 keys to success. And yet they are failing everywhere. Praise God. But you have the key to success. The principle is you need to apply those keys by commitment. If a man has the key of a door and carries the key and stand by the door without inserting the key into the hole that is provided and turning either to the left or to the right, will the door be open? The door isn't going to open. So you don't get to the door and begin to say, door, I have your key. You better give way for me. No, the door isn't going to open. You need to apply the principle of opening the door and then you will get access. Praise God. So you must cross a place in your emotion. You must cross a place in your decision, in your willpower, where you'll be able to say, I am doing this by commitment. My prayer is by commitment. My service to God is by commitment and not by convenience. Today, as it is, civilization, modernization, whatever you call it, has made life so comfortable. And so everybody wants to be comfortable. Comfortable to the detriment of their spiritual life. So somebody can choose, okay, I won't go to church in the morning, I'll go in the afternoon. I've met some people who attend non-denominational fellowships on a weekday. And they tell you, that's okay for me, I don't need to attend any church again. For me, that's my church. I don't want any place where they are going to begin to place so much demand on me. I don't have the time to start attending midweek activities and all of that. So let me just serve my God here. I'd like you to know that's not how God wants us to serve him. You know, when he called his disciples, he said, come follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. They were to leave everything they were doing to follow him. And sometimes people will think that there is no work in ministry. But there's so much work to do there. Praise God. There is a greater reward in the practice side. That's why in school, while you are learning, you are not paid. But after you qualify and begin to apply the knowledge, you begin to earn money. As an apprentice, you are not paid. In fact, you even have to pay the person that is teaching you. But when you learn and qualify and begin to apply the knowledge acquired, you earn money. What you earn as a reward from life will be determined by the quality of your application of what you know. Everyone will apply what they know based on the quality of their knowledge. And the result you are going to get out of it is going to be dependent on how you applied what you know. Praise the Lord. Everybody knows the things that will make them successful and position them for greatness in life. But the question is, which force is driving your application of it? Is it commitment or convenience? Sometimes when a marriage is in crisis, when a relationship is not in order, the parties involved know exactly what to do. But the question is, what force is going to drive you to do it? Is it a force of commitment? Are you going to say, I will spend the entire of my life doing this to ensure that I get results? Or you are just going to quit? There is no great invention that just came out of the blues. Every great invention originated from commitment. The commitment of the inventor. Committed himself to it. Committed his life to it. And then the result will come. You ask yourself, what force is driving me? Is it the force of convenience? How do you apply yourself to your job? How do you apply yourself to your business? How do you apply yourself to your marriage? How do you apply yourself to the things of the Lord? Somebody can be in choir for 10 years, and another person comes in 6 months or in 2 years. He knows far better than the person that has been there for 10 years. The difference is commitment. What force is driving you? We used to have a brother in our university days. Then he would just come to the fellowship. He said, please teach me how to play the guitar. He didn't know A in guitar. But everyone he saw with guitar, he would go and say, please teach me how to play the best guitar. And he kept disturbing virtually everybody that knew how to play the instrument. And out of frustration, some people started teaching him. Do you know that Ike, in 2 years' time, became the best bass guitarist in the whole of Uyo? I mean, in 2 years. Any concert, they say, look for that guy. Just give him the CD. Let him just go and listen to it. And he plays it exactly. Praise God. Now, that's commitment. What force is driving you? You know, sometimes when we do something and get a little result, we become relaxed. We just say, okay, I've gotten the result. Ask yourself, what have I added to what I knew from the beginning of the year? Have I added anything to what I already know? Because it is the force of commitment that will add value to your life. Persons are going about everything they do in their life by convenience. Church is full of people that service their career by commitment and service their relationship with God by convenience. In church, we have a lot of persons, their own service, their own career, their work, they do it with a whole lot of commitment. Praise God. You see the people that do network marketing, how committed they are. So committed. And one day I was telling Mama, if you apply this kind of commitment to evangelism, you just want people to join your line. Just come, this business is good. I say, if you do that a little bit to win a soul, praise God. But you know, we have a lot of people in church that apply commitment to their own service, to their own career, to their own pursuit in life. But when it comes to their relationship with God, they are doing it by convenience. And can I let you know that it is your relationship with God that sustains the physical side of your life. Everything you are going to become in the world, you are going to become by God. God told Joshua, in case you need good success, this law of the Lord should not depart from your mouth. Meditate in it. Apply it. Do it. So commitment will take you farther than others. You know, when the Bible says Daniel and his friends were found 10 times better than others, you would think it was just a miraculous donation. No, success is not a spiritual donation. It's a result of commitment. Daniel told the eunuch, try us out 10 days. Feed us with vegetable. That was commitment to righteous principles. Praise God. You can't go far with God if you are walking with God in covenant. So whether it is in church or in your life, anywhere you find out information and truth, you are confronted with a choice. Am I going to apply this information and truth with confidence or commitment? That is, will I do what they are saying when it is convenient and when it is not convenient, or I will just leave it and just hope that something good will happen? Anywhere and everywhere you receive an information, you receive knowledge, the next question you should ask yourself, should I pursue what I have been told? Should I follow up this information with convenience? Should I do it when it is convenient for me? They say, you know, you need to pray as a Christian. Ask yourself, should I pray when it is convenient for me or not? Should I do it with commitment? Pursue it rigorously. Follow up every detail and ensure that nothing is left undone. You see, when we do our best, God will do the rest for us. But don't sit down there and expect that something will just happen. They say, if wishes were horses, that beggars will ride on them. There are Christians who wish for everything. I wish I could just have a car now. I wish I could just have a job now. How I wish as I'm going along the road, I meet somebody that just dashed me 1 million. Praise God. Beautiful wishes. But every information you get, every knowledge you get, you need to apply commitment to it. Follow it up. Somebody say, I'm going to do this for you. Remind me. The person has given you a license to disturb him or her. Praise God. And you are just sitting down there and say, well, I don't want to disturb him. Let it not look like I'm begging him. He told you to disturb him. Praise God. And so keep reminding him. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus told a parable of a woman who needed the judge to do something for her. The Bible said the judge was wicked. They didn't know God and they didn't have regard for man. But this woman came. In the morning, she will knock at the judge's door. The judge will open it. The woman said, I don't have time now. I am having a meeting with my client. I will call you later. And the woman leaves. She's not waiting for the judge to call her. She comes again. Every day she was there. And one day the wicked judge said to himself, if I don't sort out this woman's matter, one day she will embarrass me when I have important visitors. So he decided to deal with the woman's issue. The woman got by commitment what others couldn't get by convenience. She was committed to that cause. She wanted it to happen. Anna told God, this Shiloh is not like other Shilohs. In this Shiloh, you are going to give me a child. And not just a child, you are going to give me a male child. Otherwise, you will not rest. Praise God. And that woman prayed that day until even the priest was confused whether she was drunk or in the spirit. And the priest said, this woman, you are drunk too early in the morning. And she said, no, sir, I'm not drunk. This is the anguish of my soul. I want to pour it out to God the way I feel. And she got what she wanted. The woman came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 14 and said, Jesus, my daughter is grievously vexed by evil spirit. Can you do something And Jesus didn't answer her a word. And she kept following Jesus around. And Peter went and told Jesus, this woman is disturbing us. It's either you answer her or you say you will not answer her so that we know how to deal with her. And Jesus didn't even answer the woman, answered Peter. He said, it is not good to take the food that is meant for the children and give it to the dogs. And the woman heard it because she was at a close range. And he said, excuse me, sir, even the dogs can eat the crumbs that falls from the children's table. So if you don't want to give me the whole food, just give me the crumbs and I'll be okay with it. And Jesus said, wonderful. What a radical faith. He said, woman, whatever you need is done. That was commitment. Praise God. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I would touch the hem of his garment, I will be okay. And the Bible says she went in the press. The multitude was so much, but she didn't care. She pushed in until she touched what she wanted to touch. There were other clothes she was touching until she got to Jesus. But she knew those were not the clothes she wanted. And so she kept touching and kept touching until she touched the garment that she needed to touch. And a pool of blood dried up. Commitment. For she has heard that Jesus was passing by. In the book of Luke, the Bible speaking about Zacchaeus. He heard that Jesus was coming. And he said, I need to see this man. And the Bible said, because he was not tall like others, as rich as he was, he was committed to seeing Jesus. He didn't just want Jesus to talk with him, but he just wanted to behold him. And he left all his status and started climbing a sycamore tree. Praise God. When you see the governor of a state climbing a tree, how will you feel like? Praise God. But he disregarded himself, climbed the tree, and hung there on the tree. Praise God. What was he waiting for? Just to catch a glimpse of a fellow human being. And when Jesus came by the foot of the tree, he stood and looked up. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today, salvation has come to your house. Come on. There were people that were following Jesus from the beginning of the junction to that point, and Jesus didn't look at them. Because those guys were just doing things at convenience. But he saw a man that was committed to the call. And I like you to understand that God noticed commitment. He sees commitment. And commitment is not the same thing as eye service. Commitment is not the same thing as making yourself available in the eyes of your leader. Commitment comes from the heart. Praise God. That even at home, you are not in church, you are committed to what is happening. You are feeling, this one that I'm not there, I hope another usher is there. This one I'm not there, I hope a drummer is there. You are so committed in your heart that you feel, I wish I was there. Praise God. Not the one that says, I know that others will be there. You are at home and you ask, has anybody come? They said, nobody. They said, okay, I still have time. Let's bow our head and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, I receive commitment, the spirit of commitment. Now, it is the force that will drive you to success. God told Isaac, don't go anywhere. Stay in this land. I'm going to bless you. And Isaac stayed in the land and started planting. Oh, he started cultivating in a land that was difficult to dig. That was commitment. The Bible says that the wells that Abraham dug, that the enemies filled up the well. And Isaac started digging the wells again. And as he was digging the clothes, he digged another the clothes. That was commitment. Until he dug, there was no one to strive with him. And Isaac said, now God has given us a place. We will be fruitful and multiply in the land. And he called it a Rehoboth, meaning my own place. I'd like you to ask the Lord to give you this force of commitment. Not just being committed alone to the things of God, also committed to your things, committed to your marriage, committed to your life, committed to your Christian life, and say, Lord, I'm not going to remain the same. I must grow. I'm going to grow. I'm going to grow. I'm going to become a better Christian. I'm going to become more zealous. I'm going to become more committed. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name, we are prayed.
Your grace has found me just as I am, empty hand above the loving hands. We sing it.